Well, Playboy will no longer feature nudes in the magazine. Did you see that? Generations of boys will now grow up not knowing what a naked lady does not look like. Well, what do you know?
Live from the Monona Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, we welcome nationally syndicated columnist David Sirota, plus all the news that isn't, and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's never in his comfort zone, Michael Feldman.
Yeah. It's sad, but it's true.
Comfort zone. It's not my middle name. Do you have comfort zones? I mean, is it just me? And are you ever in them? Because you like watch a baseball game or something. A batter is not in his comfort zone. Did they always have comforts? I don't think so. That's like a contemporary misnomer of something, of some feeling that we have about ourselves. There is no such thing as a comfort zone, is what I'm trying to say, unless there's a thermostat involved. I feel better about myself now already. Okay, Playboy magazine. Let's talk about that for a while. Now it's just Hugh Hefner and his geriatric sex column. Kid's going to want to get a hold of that. The Playboy divisor. Of course, after the news of this Playboy thing, sales of National Geographic skyrocketed. And in all the nudes that isn't, the first Democratic debate is Big Nurse versus Irascible Codger. I think Codger kind of won. It really irritated Big Nurse, as you can imagine. Plus, he's been putting his meds under his tongue, spitting them out. That happens. I didn't quite feel a burn, but there was some redness and inflammation, I noticed. The fact that Bernie Sanders' wife obviously shops at World Bazaar may have hurt his cause. Okay. I got a chuckle out of it. I'm sorry you didn't. Hillary made a good point regarding the Benghazi committee that Benghazi is the Arab word for Hillary, so... It's pretty straightforward, think about it. Bernie Sanders offered free college and dental. So that sounds pretty good. I'm going to get caps all around, go back to school. Very good. Anyway, let's see. The other guys on the stage did not leave a name. One, I believe it was George Webb, appeared to be a military man. But, you know, a military man as commander-in-chief is how we got Idi Amin, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, very good. Thoughtful response. How do you spell response? See, I never use the word. Okay. I think the guy from Rhode Island just sort of wandered in on the stage, and they let him stay up there. That was nice. You know, he's waving all those electoral votes around from Rhode Island. But how dare the Democrats talk about nothing but issues? What is this, a debate? Elsewhere, the new Chevy Volt electric car gets 53 miles on one charge, which will get you to Hartford, but leave you 1,673 miles short of Mexico City. I shouldn't have to beg you for a response. But I will. I thought it was pretty good, actually. The elk have returned to Chernobyl and feel so good about it, they're just glowing. With its remnants of 10,000 lakes, Mars is what Minnesota will look like in 100 million years. Apple owes the University of Wisconsin nearly $1 billion for using jump around at its earnings reports. Okay, thanks. Global warming, the flooding projections show that Brooklyn will be the new Atlantis. And all them hipsters are going to sink under those wool coats, I'll tell you that. Just be those dumb hats floating, that's all you'll see of Brooklyn. A 74-year-old Brit gets 350 lashes for having wine in Saudi Arabia. It's 50 each for body, aroma, hints of, bouquet of, earthiness, and finish. Wine lovers are going to love that joke. Had everything. Old man getting beaten. Wine talk. Apple's Siri can be hacked and made to say, look it up your own damn self. NASA may have discovered an alien civilization around a strange star called the Sun. Waited for it. I waited for it. It still didn't happen. Okay, Oscar Pistorius will get house arrest as soon as the bathroom is fixed. Well, single guy's got to have a bathroom. I'm sorry. A New York restaurant. I enjoy myself. You know, this is what it's all about, really. I'm glad you came and everything, but you really didn't have to. Thank you. I'm glad you're good. A New York restaurant ends tipping, so diners will be forced to draw their own little smiley faces on the checks from now on. I say, how about keep tipping and the cost of a meal? Huh? The Bernie Sanders solution. Bernie Sanders says. I should have said Bernie Sanders says. Then you would have liked it. Okay, let's see. I forgot where I was here now. Tipping, cost of a meal. Oh, yeah. They have found that sitting for long periods of time does not make death more imminent. Unless it's been, like, several days. Then you should give them a poke with something. The new VW North America chief quits after only 2 weeks, citing fumes. They have also found that dinosaurs were warm-blooded 1 minute and cold the next. That's why the brontosaurus always wore something around her shoulders. You may have noticed that in recreations. Because, you know, they're hot, what they call the next. Okay. All right. I think I kind of a cute little joke, I thought. It had dinosaurs in it, and then it had women, sort of.
Rats.
And the little thing around, you know, you can always put a little thing, wear a little thing around. So you'll have it if it's cold in the restaurant, kind of thing. Okay. In Wisconsin, the Chippewa will be able to hunt deer at night, but not from cars while blindfolded. So there were some concessions made in that. The Chippewa, by the way, were heavy contributors to the failed presidential bid of Scott Wallace. Scott Walker. You know, I've been doing that lately, calling him Scott Wallace. Who was Scott Wallace? God, Scott Walker. See how soon you forget? Isn't that amazing? Walker. Of course, the guy ran and he was indomitable. That guy. Walker, by the way, is $1 million in debt after his failed presidential bid, but the money will be siphoned out of the University of Wisconsin Trust Fund. And finally, and I do mean this, Scott Walker says he will not run again for president as Scott Walker. That's all the news that is. And thank you so much. Overreaction here. Overreaction. Supply much needed attention. You're not overreacting, dear. Make an effort. If we all make an effort, we can leave here early. Thank you. Thank you very much. Very kind of you. I almost had a goosebump on that response. So things are good then, huh? Everything okay? Things good? You're going to the game. The rest of you are going to stay here a little for the duration. Okay. Let's see now. David, are you there? Are you on there, David?
I am.
Okay. David Sirota has joined us now. He writes a column in the International Business Times and various other things. He owns the 80s and 90s. It's personal property for some reason. David, how did that happen, for example? How did you happen to own those two decades?
Well, I grew up in them and writing about them.
Yeah.
And I became obsessed. I was very obsessed with all the movies from back then. I probably can quote many of them to you.
Go ahead. Quote a few of them, if you would. Which ones do you do?
the top of your head?
You know, I know many of the lines of, I mean, this is not, doesn't make me a special person, but Back to the Future. I mean, I'm a big Back to the Future fan. You know,
all right, let me ask you that about that. Can I ask you about that? David Sirota in Denver. Back to the Future. Is there something in Back to the Future that predicts that the Cubs will go to the World Series in 2015?
Boy, I can't remember. That, you know what? That's Back to the Future 2, which I'm not an expert on.
Oh, that's 2.
Maybe in that sports book. But you know the Back to the Future Day is coming up. You know that, right?
No, when is that?
Yeah, Back to the Future Day is, I think it's next week. It's either October 14th or October 15th. It's the day that they go to the future. October 14th or 15th, 2015 is the day they actually go to the future in the movie.
Right, and they know that it's the future because the Cubs are in a World Series.
Yeah, probably right. Yeah, probably right.
I believe that's the joke. So that's, but that's 2 then, huh? That's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, 2 is kind of disappointing. I agree.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, I got all your background material in here, and I can't find it. I think I left it at home. Can you tell us about your background?
Oh, my background, sure. Yes, of course.
Now, you write this column. Now, you're not exactly, what would you call you, a progressive journalist? Is that fair to say?
I call myself a journalist, investigative journalist.
What do you mean by that, though?
Well, I mean... Do we have
journalists in this day and age?
That's a very good question. I think we've got a lot of media. We don't have a lot of journalists. Yeah. I basically do, I try to scrutinize all sides, both sides. You know, we do a lot of digging on money and politics. I mean, it is true. I used to work in politics many years ago. I did work about 16 years ago for Bernie Sanders.
You did, really?
I worked for Dave Obey for a time.
I didn't know that.
Boston Connection.
Cool. I like Dave Obey. How was Sanders to work for? You would have an insight there on.
He's terrific. I mean, he's a great guy. I mean, he's a very. He's all business. I'll put it that way. I mean, he's very focused on.
He's all anti-business, isn't he?
Well, I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah.
But he's very focused on the mission. He's. You know, I don't want to say that he's not warm, but he's just very he's very.
But you just did, didn't you? I mean, that's a clever way of getting around.
He's not a particularly warm and cuddly guy.
No,
but he's definitely, I mean, let's put it this way: he can turn almost any conversation into a conversation about income inequality. I mean, you could be talking about an episode of Seinfeld, and suddenly you're talking about income inequality.
Yeah. So some people have more of a quality income than others. Is that what you're saying?
I'm sorry, say again?
Some people have more of a quality income than others do?
Well,
is there a certain quality to it that others don't have?
Yeah, no, I think his point is, you know...
I understand. I'm just being a jerk.
The rich and the poor, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Let's go to the debate then. And how do you think... first of all, is it hard to cover someone that you've worked with? Should you file a disclaimer with every story?
Yeah, well, it's written right on my bio on every story we write. And... We did a story right before the debate where we looked at a number of contradictions in Bernie Sanders' record. And I'm pretty sure they didn't like his campaign didn't like that story, but you know that's my job and it can be a little bit weird to cover somebody you worked for a long time ago, but look, it's part of the job. And we looked at, you know, what happens when he is pushing to combat climate change, but he's also pushing to lower gas prices. You know, lower gas prices sort of encourage people to use more gasoline, which isn't good for climate change. And what does he do when there are defense jobs in his state and he's railing on wasteful defense spending, which can be a little bit of a contradiction? So we looked at all of those. And
but it's just politics, David. I don't know if I shouldn't have told you this.
Well, I mean, you
attack
right.
All sorts of things that you do. Isn't that politics in general?
I think so, and I also think, like, you can also have principles, but also have your principles run into themselves. And what you do at those points are important, especially when you're dealing, if you're running for president, where literally the federal government has agencies which are, in many cases, have opposite missions. You know, you got one agency that's designed to help the oil companies drill, and you got another agency that's designed to, you know, protect the environment and potentially stop the oil companies from drilling. So how he manages those conflicts is important to understand if and when he becomes president.
Yeah, but it's true of everyone, isn't it? I mean, you took Hillary to task for many of her anti-bank finance statements while being, you know, funded by many of those same people.
Well, I mean, that was the most incredible comment to me in the debate. She was asked about her enemies, and she said that the drug and insurance companies are her big enemies. And of course, they've given her millions of dollars, her family foundation, and she's pushed a lot of their agenda items. So, I mean, I guess it's kind of like with enemies like these, who needs friends, right?
Right. But in fairness, isn't everyone paid off by the drug companies and the insurance companies? I mean, they give to everybody, don't they? They're equal opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I think look, Bernie Sanders doesn't get a lot of pharmaceutical and insurance money, I'll tell you that.
But no.
For the
and he's
the
guy
part,
who needs pharmaceuticals at his age.
Well, I mean, for the most part, you know, I think a lot, yes, those industries give a lot of money to both parties, to members of Congress of both parties. Hillary Clinton has been at the top of the list of recipients of that money. And I think it's, you know, even though these companies give to, and all, you know, Wall Street too, gives a lot of money to all of these candidates. I think when people are running for president, it's important for the voters to understand, you know, who really is their friend and their favorite. That's an important thing.
Yeah. Is it a good idea for everyone running for president to have a fund of some sort, like the Clinton Fund?
You're talking about the foundation?
The foundation, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean,
might it be helpful if, like, Rand Paul had a foundation and then he'd...
Well, you know, here's the thing. I mean, the foundation allows major donations, unlimited donations. They're tax deductible donations for the donor. Mm-hmm. And I think in the Clinton Foundation, I mean, that foundation does certainly do some good work. But I also think that foundation has been a way for the Clintons to cultivate very powerful political interests and develop relationships with them. And of course, the donors get something out of that as well. They get to have the Clintons as kind of public relations PR image partners with them as they promote themselves across the world. So there is definitely a symbiotic relationship there that is I know the Clintons say, well, you know, it's separate from politics, but there's definitely political relationships there.
Oh. And I think Mike Huckabee is in on that heifer thing.
The what?
The heifer fund, you know, where they give heifers to people. I think that's a front for a Mike Huckabee foundation.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. The Heifer Foundation.
Interesting.
Yeah. Feel free to use that, you know, from an unnamed
maybe
source.
Maybe it's my next story.
Yeah, outside everything, unnamed source. Okay, yeah. All right. And the debate in general, though, is kind of different in that there actually was a discussion of issues, whether people cared about them or not, but, you know, which is quite different from the Republican debate, which was a shouting match and character assassination. So you can't say as a journalist, well, that's a good thing, but that was certainly different in kind.
It absolutely was. I mean, I thought that the debate and the Democratic debate really did focus on policy. What I think was confusing was that it was there was not a lot of discussion about necessarily all of the or even most of the distinctions between the candidates. I mean, there was some debate about gun control where there was a distinction made by Hillary Clinton, but Bernie Sanders really did not explicitly, in a lot of cases, draw out the distinctions between his own votes on many economic issues and Hillary Clinton's own votes on many economic issues. So my question coming out of the debate is whether in that debate people were really given a chance yet to understand what the key distinctions are, except other than gun control, between Clinton and Sanders.
Yeah. And looking at the Republicans, have you had a chance to uncover some contradictions amongst them as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
inconsistencies or contradictions? Because they're pretty consistent, I mean, actually, if you think about it. It'd be hard to do.
Well, I mean, the person who's really I'm kind of fascinated with every day is Jeb Bush, because he you never know what that guy's going to say.
Yeah, the disappearing Jeb Bush. The disappearing man.
Yeah, he's disappearing in the polls.
Shrinking.
Sure. I mean, here's a guy who came out at the beginning of his campaign and said, you know, he hates lobbyists, he's going to take them on, he's going to change Washington. Now, separate from the fact that a guy who's the son and brother of a president being a change agent for Washington, separate from that kind of mind-blowing idea, is the idea that Jeb Bush was extremely close to the corporate lobbying community in Florida. We traced emails between him and corporate lobbyists consulting on policy in Florida. A big lobbying firm in Florida is his big donor, and this is one of my favorite stories.
Is it Lehman? You don't name names, but is it Lehman?
No, well, it was the lobbying firm is called the Southern Strategy Group. Oh. But the whole Lehman thing is a separate story. But
You'll
love this. When Bush announced how much he hates lobbyists at this big event down in Florida, it was at an event organized by one of the major corporate lobbying groups in Florida. So
I don't see a contradiction there. Do you?
I don't see any contradiction.
This is politics as usual, though. There's so much of this. What is he's just so bad at it. You know, he's like the dregs of the whole Bush line. There is poor Jeb. I mean, it's unfortunate. I'm the last of my line as well. So say what you will. But
I think the interesting thing is that he and Hillary Clinton, too, I think, on a lot of these issues, are banking on the idea that contradictions are not going to be scrutinized, that nobody's going to actually shine the spotlight at them, or nobody really cares. I mean, you know, Hillary Clinton, to go back to her, I mean, she was talking about this 12-nation trade deal, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. She campaigned for it. She was one of the administration's spokespeople for it. Gave 45 speeches suddenly on a dime. She's running for president. She turns around. She says she opposes it. And I think she's banking on the idea that nobody's even going to notice or care.
Weren't we talking about Jeb Bush?
Yeah, well, I mean,
you're
it's
back
the same
on your
him.
Hillary thing. Is all you're doing.
No,
you just you
no,
don't.
No,
you really can't stand Hillary Clinton.
That's not true. I mean,
anything about her.
It's the same thing.
You don't
with
like
Jeb Bush.
Her hair or the way she dressed. Nothing.
No. I don't
think
so. No.
Nothing.
No. No, but I'll keep, look. It's the same thing with Jeb Bush.
The pantsuits are. Finally, we've broken through to what the problem is.
Yeah. You twisted me up.
In all of this, and then Donald Trump gets to be immune from any criticism or anything else because that's just Donald Trump. You know. He has a free pass now.
I will tell you as a journalist that I find it very difficult to cover him because, one, it's not clear where any of his positions match up to really. There's no consistent thread there at all. I mean, here's a guy who's a billionaire real estate mogul railing on, multimillionaire hedge funders, but then also railing on immigrants. And, yesterday he made this big splash against Jeb where he made the point on a television show where he said, George Bush was president on 9/11, and then Jeb Bush, kind of got upset and put out on Twitter, my brother kept us safe, which then Trump went back and said, basically he didn't keep us safe because 9/11 happened on his watch. And so, then the Jeb campaign said, Donald Trump sounds like a liberal conspiracy theorist. So the point is that it's hard to know where Donald Trump's coming from on any issue.
I'm sorry, I was drinking a glass of water. That was a long sentence. and I am a ventriloquist. You know, David Sirota is actually, I am actually saying everything that he's saying. Yeah, so how do you deal with a problem like Donald Trump, Party, they actually cannot do anything about him. He signed the damn sheet and said, I'm a Republican, Donald Trump.
I think the thing that scares the Republican establishment about Donald Trump is that Donald Trump, in some of his policy platform that rank and file Republican voters aren't mad at him about. I mean, here's a guy who's railing on hedge fund managers, and that is traditionally among the Republican donor class is not something you do. And yet Donald Trump keeps rising in the polls. And so I think Donald Trump is actually showing that there is this big divide between rank-and-file Republican voters and the Republican elite that doesn't like anybody criticizing anybody else on kind of economic class issues.
Okay, that's a different subject real quick. Government shutdown, are you for it or against it?
I'll cover it. I'll put it that way. As a journalist, I will cover it.
Is it going to happen, do you think, this time?
It's really hard to say. I wish I had a good answer. I think probably not. I think probably both parties see it as something they don't want to do in the middle of a presidential election.
Yeah. And this whole speakership thing.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah. What if they can never find one? Can it simply run itself? I mean, and have someone make announcements? They really need a speaker, but he's supposed to run the bills through and everything. I mean, he has actual function. Plus, he's number three in line for something. God forbid should happen to the people above him. He would be president.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
it's kind of important. It sounds like it's important.
They're trying to get you know, Wisconsin's guy Paul Ryan to do it. And he doesn't seem to want to do it.
Paulie Ryan. No.
Yeah, he doesn't want to. I mean, I think you know what really could happen
he's not
here.
Do it.
Is that the Republicans are going to need Democratic votes to elect the Speaker.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a big vote in the whole House.
It's crazy.
And in some legislatures, look, I used to live in Montana where there was a situation in which the Republican Speaker of the House for a time was a Democrat. It was a single Democrat who ran because they needed the vote. So something weird. I don't think it's going to be Nancy Pelosi, but it could. I mean, we could have a Democratic Speaker. We could have some speaker who mostly has Democratic votes. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and Newt wants to come back and do it. I saw that. That was the scariest thing out of this whole.
I saw Kanye West wants to do it, right? Or Obama talking about it.
It would be good. David Sirota, I want to thank you for stopping by and giving us some of your insights.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
What's going on? And we should mention International Business Times.
Right, IB Times.
Yeah. How do you write stuff like you do for a business publication? That's a little unusual, isn't it?
Well, no, because almost everything I write is about money. And so money is business.
Money is what?
Money is business. So I'm writing mostly about money.
Business America is money. Oh, no.
Yeah, that's right.
Business is business is business. I don't know. David, great talking with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
David Sirota, ladies and gentlemen, from Denver. And there you go. Anything I forgot to ask, I can call him back. There's too much to go over, so I tried not to.
The weird thing about that speakership is that you don't, I didn't realize you don't have to be in Congress to be the speaker.
No, you could
do
it.
Joe Blow from, yeah, I could do it.
If you ever tire of this gig.
Hey, sit down and shut up.
You'll end up crying, though, just like Boehner did, you know. Yeah. And then he cries next to the Pope when he, he's going through it. He's an emotional guy. Feel bad for him. What's he going to do after this? What's he going to? Who's going to hire him?
He's going to radio.
That's too easy. Yeah. All right. So how are you? Pretty good then. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
And then
okay,
what do you? How are things? Is it you write? Are you write? Is this one? Did you write this one?
No, I didn't. But this is a tune by Billy Strayhorn.
The great Billy Strayhorn.
Great Billy Strayhorn. Yeah. Who wrote a lot of things with Duke Ellington.
Yeah.
Kind of a. Unheralded composer, but
yeah.
Anyway, this one's called Sunset and the Mockingbird.
Sounds good.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Thing. I love bass solos. I don't know why you would even infer that. I just said, you know, maybe not one in every song. How many of you love bass solos? A lot of people love them. How many of you, while you respect the bass solo, don't necessarily love it? Okay. How many anyone here actually hate a bass solo? Or just there's something about it that maybe the way it travels up your body from below. And, does that ever get to you? If you're sitting right in front of the guy's amplifier. How many of you ever sat right in front of a guy's amplifier? Oh, glad to hear it. What was the situation exactly? Yeah.
Okay. I was a professional musician, so I sat in front of plenty of monitors for all kinds of things. Yes. Yes. It was someone else's monitor. Many times. I was a French horn player. Oh, different people, different times. Sometimes percussion, sometimes the drum set. It was very brutal. I had to wear earplugs. Nancy Shepard.
Wasn't that interesting? Thank you very much for that. French horn, huh? You still keep up your chops?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have neighbors? Practice with the window. That's not enough, I don't think. You need, like, those, you know, those Purge, you know, the movie Purge? These things that came down and shuttered the entire house around. This is what you need if you play a French horn or anything larger. Thank you for being here. We'll start with a joke. I had time, actually, to go through your cards because it's not a huge group. It's a very sizable group. It's a group of some size. It's sizable. It's able to have a size. Kind of group. So, but you're a very nice group, and I'm very nice to see you. Like, a nice couple here. Like, how long have you been a couple?
Going on 47 years. Can you believe that?
No, I can't believe it. Can you believe that?
I'm having a hard time.
With this one individual, or were there actually 47 different individuals at 1 year each? What?
Just do one at a time. 47 years is a good start.
Looking back on it, what do you think about 47 guys 1 year each?
Well, that could be an interesting treat.
Maybe the next 47. We should actually ask him to, excuse me, I'm going to just squeeze by here, and if I step on anything, just scream in pain.
Right.
How are you?
I'm good.
That's good. I'm glad to hear. Let me just get through this, and I'll ask you something embarrassing. How are you? Did you know that it was 47 years? Let me ask you that.
Yes. Yeah, I knew.
I would have just come up to you and said, how many years? You'd say?
I would have said 47 years.
So that would put it back in what year?
1969. I was married on my birthday. She was my present. She was my birthday present.
Nice. I can't really say anything about that. That's so sweet. Okay, and your name is?
Jerry.
Jerry and?
I'm Carol.
How about something for 47 years for Jerry and Carol?
How about award-winning wines Domaine du Sac and Prairie Fumé from the Wollersheim Winery?
Did they each get a bottle?
Yes, each get a bottle. Perfect for anniversaries or birthdays.
Okay, what a night that's going to be. Each with a bottle of wine, and you can fence with them or something if things get really crazy. I'm sorry?
I need another bad habit.
Okay. Well, what are your other ones?
Too many to mention.
Okay. Well, you know, if you want to write them out, put them on a card, because we need more cards. So I was going to say, we have, like, so few cards that I actually corrected some of them. I'm an old English teacher. For example, let's see here on... okay, there was a big correction here. Incomplete Hannah Cornish got an incomplete. Well, that is you. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Hannah Cornish from St. Paul, Minnesota?
Yeah.
Oh, you got an incomplete on your card because, Hannah, there was nothing, something, a question you've always had or known or an answer you've always, whatever that is, at the end there.
I didn't know I was supposed to.
Oh, you didn't know. It was on the syllabus, dear.
Read it, apparently.
Well, you have to read it. You have to put, because you put, what do they ask for? Who you are, what's your occupation or preoccupation or something like that, where from, and a question you've always had or an answer you've always had. Isn't that something like that? What do they say these days? I don't know. I used to, a question for me. Yeah, you didn't hear there's a question for me?
No, I didn't.
Had you known that, would you have a question for me at this time?
I don't think so.
Okay, very good. Hannah, I love you. I don't know. You're a great person, individual, and I'm sorry if that caused you any anguish, but fill in your card next time.
Sorry.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, that's it's not your fault, really. I have too much time on my hands. Right? I'm going to go through the card and say, well, this is spelling. Left purposely blank. Okay. You know who you are. Let's see. Oh, here we go. How to get in. This is Patrick Cornish? Patricia Cornish. Patricia Cornish. Oh, you're all Cornishes. I'm beginning to see a theme is beginning to come.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Would you mind getting up? Because otherwise people think I'm doing both voices. And yeah, because I'm very skilled with that. And Patricia, and you're...
I'm not Patricia.
Oh, you're Patricia. Oh, would you mind sitting down for a minute? Patricia, can I get a... She claimed to be you. I'm sorry.
Happens all the time.
Here, come down here. Don't hide behind your offspring. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah. From St. Paul?
Yes.
Did you ever live in the other one?
On the other side of the river?
Yeah.
No.
No. Were you told not to go there? As it?
Really? Yeah, still.
Still?
Don't go there.
Yeah.
Just don't.
Did they say why?
Isn't it obvious?
Sure. Okay, fine. Yeah, it's obvious. And you're a student learning band instrument repair?
I am.
See, that's what's so cool about this. Now, that'd be a great thing to know, because if you have a neighbor who plays a French horn and you go over there and trash it, you know.
Job security.
Yeah.
Job security is basically what that is.
Can you fix a
Actually,
French horn?
I haven't learned brass yet. The first semester was woodwind, and I'll be going to brass in a week.
Yeah.
So, no.
So you feel pretty confident about woodwind?
Yeah. Actually, it's, yeah.
Anybody have a woodwind here that we could break and see if you can? What?
Clarinet.
You play clarinet?
No. No, I don't.
Okay. Who are you, by the way? Which Cornish are you?
Natalie.
Natalie and?
Hannah.
Yes.
Okay. These are your daughters?
They are.
Nice girls. I'm sorry if I've caused them any consternation. But this, I was going to say, this is a great thing to know. How do you get into something like a band instrument repair?
How do you do that? Well, I actually have worked in the automotive industry and car business, accounting, payroll, bookkeeping, whatever.
Every end of it.
For many years. And I just happened to pick up a book at a thrift store, and it was called 48 Days to the Work You Love, and that brought me into...
That's how I got into radio.
Congratulations.
This wasn't what I chose to do, actually. This was a byproduct of it, but I...
But, so anyway, that book centered me on my talents and things I like to do and what I'm passionate about, so I put in the Google, band instrument and repair, and there's three schools in the country, and one is in Red Wing, which was 50 miles from my house, so that's the one I chose.
And how's it? I think that's an excellent idea. And so how long? You got 120 days or something? What'd you say?
It's a two semester program. So I'll graduate in the spring.
Yeah. Is that the Red Wing? What's that called?
It's called Southeast Minnesota Tech.
Southeast Minnesota Tech. Yay. The Fighting Red Wings. And then after that, you can actually put your shingle up and repair things.
If everything goes well, I should be able to be gainfully employed at that point, and then I can actually continue education to get an associate's and move forward.
You got to get the marching band contract there in Minnesota.
I've
guys fall all the time, and they ruin everything, you know?
I thought it'd be great to get
You're
in line.
Clumsy, because there's always one guy who turns this way, and everyone else turns that way. You got to get that guy's number.
One of the drum corps groups, I could be a roadie and just travel the country and fix trombones and French horns, so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And the Cornish family. Thank you, Cornish family of St. Paul, not Minneapolis. So how are we doing time-wise?
Good.
Stephanie Lee, ladies and gentlemen, sitting up there waiting for this to pass so she can work. All right. Let's see now. How do you come up with a good question? Howard Levin, accountant, Philadelphia.
It's very meta.
How do you come up with a tax law?
I don't come up with the tax laws. The government does.
Well, I don't come up with good questions either. That might be my point. Okay, thank you. Don't take it so hard. It's okay.
I'm all right.
You're going to the game. All going
to the game. We're going to the game.
Aren't you wondering what's happening right now? Anyone? Did it start yet?
No, it's not yet.
Okay, so nothing's happening right now.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. You want to get there for that where the guy tries to kick a field goal, a complete stranger, usually a kid, and he always hits the upright. I've never gone one where the guy goes, oh, God, he almost won, like, whatever they win. What is it, $25 and a jar of pickles or something? It's not big. All right. Will you wish my sister a happy late birthday? The tickets were her gift, but she's not here. What? Jenny brought her Jenny? Oh, you're here.
Yes.
And you forced them to come as well. Do I have time to go over and say hello to everyone?
If you do it quickly.
Oh, yes, I'll do it quickly. I'll just saunter a little bit. I always do the opposite. Are you like that? I don't know. Some people are. When you were told to do something, did you always do the opposite?
Yes, I still do.
Yeah, okay. I can see that. You're not here. Oh, I saunter. Oh, you're doing pretty good. Go with those Cubs.
Go Cubs.
Yeah, what about that? Back to the Future, too.
Anything's possible.
Yeah. You got tickets for anything?
Not yet. We'll see.
Who do you have to kill to get a ticket to that game?
I don't know. You?
Killing me would just be gratifying. It'll get you no Cubs tickets. You'll just have the gratification. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yay. Come on, Santa. Birthday girl. Come on. Spanking time. Spanking line. Form the spanking lines. Don't make me do this myself, people. Okay, I won't ask how many it is. Is this a big party, or what's going on?
Well, actually, it's a late birthday.
Yeah.
My birthday was in August.
Get out of here. Boy, that's so disappointing. What's your name?
Jenny.
But that's where the late birthday comes.
The tickets were a birthday present.
Oh, I see. And you brought them. Well, thank you. Yeah.
My sister's birthday next week. And?
Any more beyond that? Just the...
Well, there's another sister and two brothers, too.
And when are their birthdays?
Ask her. She knows.
I'll get up. Let me get out my phone. It's in my bag. And I'll put them all in there on my Facebook thing. And so I get reminders on Facebook when it's every one of your birthdays. Hey, what is the last name I'll be looking for then?
They're all different.
Oh, they're all different. Can you give me some of them?
Milholland.
Milholland, yes.
Okay. Donnelly.
Donnelly.
O'Connell.
O'Connell. They tend to be Irish names. Very well. Happy birthday. Happy brothers and sisters' birthday. Give him a bottle of wine and, okay. Domaine de Sac, okay. All right. I know it was August, but what the heck? That's the way things roll around here. When they roll at all. We're going to play the What Do You Know quiz, chance for you to win fabulous prizes simply for being fabulous. And since I forgot to give some of the four disclaimers, we'll go right to it at this point and find out who wants to play the What Do You Know quiz. It is a quiz, not of trivia. The guy who's going to the game? How about you, though? Huh? I'll get to you after you leave. Okay. No, I want to talk to him about some accounting principles. I thought, oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on there a minute, fella, with your Stand With Cooperatives shirt there in very nice colors. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Are you in a cooperative yourself?
Yeah, the Willie Street Cooperative.
Oh, the Willie Street Co-op, one of the finest... I was there in the glory days.
Yes, and I'm currently there. We used to also live in Madison City Cooperatives, my wife as well.
Okay. Your name is?
My name is Aram.
Aram?
Aram, yes.
Okay, Aram, give me one good reason you play this quiz.
I had to get up at 4 in the morning and fix pipes this morning.
Oh, boy, that's the best reason ever. What a wonderful reason. Fixing pipes at 4 in the morning there. Are you making up as you go along? That's what I do. Pipe is something with a pipe. If you hear a rattling in there, you go at it with a hammer. You need a hammer. Not a pounding hammer, but like a small sledge.
Yeah, I woke up and I found a bunch of water on the floor.
Yeah.
It was scary.
What color was it?
It was clear. I was wondering perhaps if it were yellow. Initially?
Yes.
But it was not.
One of those nights. I know you're a young man. Things happen, as Jeb Bush says. And so what was it? What was leaking? The leaking pipe?
It was the supply line to the warm water.
Isn't that ironic? Because it was cold water when it was leaking.
Yes, the irony is uncanny.
I look for it everywhere. I don't know if you do, but I'm just the kind of person that does. This was at the co-op?
No, thankfully not. Yeah, no, I don't work at the co-op.
Oh, okay.
I just feel like I have my entire paycheck go to the co-op.
Okay. Well, then what do you do, Aram?
I am a teacher for Mount Horeb Schools.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Teacher, Mount Horeb Schools. What do you teach?
I work with at-risk kids, or yeah, as some would call them, at-promise kids.
At-promise kids, yeah. Okay. Which euphemism do they prefer?
They prefer, I guess, they just Nothing. Prefer to be out of there.
Yeah, prefer to be out of there, yeah, yeah. And what are you doing with the guys these days?
So when kids sort of get into like D and F range, I pull them out of their normal study hall and try to get them back on track, figure out what's going on.
Yeah. And what do you do that by? You go out and do like woodsy things? Do you climb on precipices, outward bound sort of thing?
Mostly booksy things, pen and paper, figuring out kind of what are missing assignments, figuring out if there's any kind of outside things, if they're homeless.
I would try the precipice or something. I get them outdoors there.
If I could.
What about?
Let's see if I can get windows in my room first, huh? Superintendent?
You don't have windows in the room?
No. Maybe the superintendent's listening.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what's your next career going to be? Aram, someone out there plays along with you. You know, it's a general knowledge quiz, and we'll find out if. And how does that work then, Stephanie Lee?
If people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669 and answer this qualifying question.
Okay, while the average seat of the average passenger has grown, the average seat that he sits on in a plane has shrunk. How far is it down to right now? You can measure your own seat if you want, and you can assume that it's going to overlap the current airline seat. I don't know in inches how wide the width of the average airline seat currently is right now. That's the thing I want to know. Let's go to the phone. Did you give the number?
I did.
Yeah, give it again.
1-800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WHACK. Now.
Very nicely done. And Dylan's on the line from Green Bay. Hey, Dylan.
Hey, Michael.
You know anything about the Chargers? I don't. Are we worried?
The Chargers?
The Chargers. You know, Green Bay's playing the Chargers.
Oh, yeah. I know nothing about that. I'm very lonely. Yeah.
All right. You know you're living in Green Bay. Did you know that?
I know I'm calling from Green Bay.
Oh, you're calling. You're not from. Okay, you're just passing through.
Just passing by.
Okay, Dylan, give me an estimate of the average plane seat size now.
18 inches. Final answer.
No. They used to be 18. I'll tell you what, they used to be 18.
And 20.
No. I mean, they haven't gotten bigger. Sorry, Dylan. Got to be fair here.
14.
Thanks for trying. John's in Springfield. Mo, John, seat
yes.
of the average plane width seat.
24 inches.
Oh, that's way too big. Unless you're first class, John. Sarah's in Middleton. Hey, Sarah.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great.
Do you want to estimate for me how big the average plane seat bottom thing is now?
Is this in, like, inches?
This is, like, in inches.
22 inches.
No, way big. Okay, thanks, though. Meg in Reedsburg. Meg.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think it's like 12.
Oh, no, but they're getting there, I'll tell you that. That won't be long.
My first initial reaction was 8.
Yeah, well, it gets smaller and smaller, apparently. Or your reactions get slightly larger each time, but we can't wait for that to happen. Christine is in Whitehall, Michigan.
Yes.
Yes. Hi, Christine.
I'm going to say 17.
Close enough, 16 and a half. Christine, you qualify for
Yay.
The What Do You Know quiz. All right, okay. This is Aram, Christine.
Yeah. Hey, Christine.
Yeah, and did we find out what you do? Yeah, you teach, that's right. He teaches and he goes to the co-op a lot. Christine, what do you do out there in Whitehall?
I'm a substitute teacher.
Oh, you are? Okay, good. Simpatico. Okay, so Christine and Aram, we have various categories, don't we?
We do. The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Christine, you pick the first one. What would you like?
I'll say people.
Go ahead, say people. That's fine.
People.
Good. I like what you're saying. Percentage of Christian conservatives bothered by Donald Trump never asking for forgiveness. Bothered. By Christian conservatives. Is it 99%, 89%, or 59% of Christian conservatives who are bothered by Donald Trump never having asked for forgiveness?
I guess first?
You come up with one. It's 99, 89, 59, collaborate.
Man. You want to try for the middle?
I
want to try for the middle? 89, or is that high?
You know, they're very forgiving.
Then 59.
Huh.
59?
What do you think?
I feel like
forgiveness is a big part of the whole thing.
Okay.
So wait, what?
But you got to ask for it.
Oh, that are bothered by it. Okay.
What's the top end again, Michael?
59.
I think let's go with 59.
59 is right.
Okay.
Yes. They're very forgiving. But he is not. I don't know. So.
That's one right, zero wrong, and the remaining categories are current events, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, then. Aram, what would you like?
Things I should have learned at school, because I'm a masochist like that, I guess.
Are you? Okay. Well,
between two, a teacher and a substitute teacher, this should be a lockup, I hope.
Okay, seasons. Our seasons. They're caused by what? Elliptical orbit of the Earth, the axis tilt, or the pear shape of the planet?
Ooh, I just read this. So I'm almost sure it's the tilt, because I've been reading the Universe Within.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Okay, I agree.
Tilt, yes, tilt. That's, I'm sorry. That's
two, right? Zero wrong. And the remaining categories are current events, places, science, or odds and ends.
Christine, back to you.
I'll take current events.
Current events. Ancient Chinese teeth.
Oh, no.
Make the news. It was all about ancient Chinese teeth. Found in a cave in China. How come it made the news? Ancient Chinese teeth.
We've got no options on this?
Could it be they had no cavities?
It's a cute guess.
It's a much better answer.
Right?
You didn't see, All Things Considered was on there, or Terry Gross must have covered this. Somebody. No?
Maybe stains from tea consumption?
They were 80,000 years old, which is older than they should have been, because they thought that no one left Africa until 60,000 years ago. And yet here are older teeth in China where they shouldn't have been.
Oh, transplanted or dentures?
Okay, that would be...
So that's two right, one wrong.
All right, here it is. You get this one right, you win. What's left?
Places, science, or odds and ends?
Let's go places.
Places. This is it for everything. Okay. This is it for everything. Okay. Very close, if not already, the first cashless nation in the world. Is it Sweden, Norway, or Denmark?
Ooh.
Where almost no cash gets circulated.
Oh, wow.
Time's a-flying.
Sweden,
Norway, Denmark.
Denmark.
Okay.
Sweden or Norway?
Sweden?
Norway.
Sweden is right, yes. Almost cashless.
Aram, our six-legged friends may be departing for the season, but you can honor their memory with a stylish Yipes bug pin, handcrafted by the Joyce Fritz Studio. Christine, for a lively start to the day, you've won Steep and Brew's Breakfast Blend Coffee. And for a restful afternoon break, enjoy rich and tasty Costa Rican Terrazu from Madison's Steep and Brew Coffee, coffee done right. And each of you can celebrate 30 years of radio innuendo and comedy combined wearing the Triple X What Do You Know t-shirt. Not much since 1985. And keep the fun going with What Do You Know the Party Game, including contestants, questions, enthusiastic audience, and the hardworking middle-class American, Michael Feldman Bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Join us next week for a live broadcast of What Do You Know here at Monona Terrace. Guests include humorist Patty Marks and a performance from Susie Blue and the Lonesome Fellows. Information on tickets is available at notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, we welcome singer-songwriter Charlie Parr. Plus, thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who, if he ever gets a gun, will just use it to shoot drones, Michael Feldman.
I want to shoot drones. I want to be a drone hunter. I mean it, too. I'm a drone hunter waiting to happen. That's why I don't buy a gun. I know, just shoot. That's my airspace. You know what I'm saying? I don't own a lot in this world. It's about 120 by 40 or something like that. You know, I don't know what works out in square feet. I guess it's a lot, but there's not much on it. But I own everything all the way up. It's like a whole air column. I don't care if commercial planes and stuff. That's their prerogative. But the first, I'll tell you, the first, I may just launch myself out. If I don't have a gun, I launch myself out the window.
You need to get a slingshot.
And I'm going
to
grab that drone as I go down. Any of you have drones? Thinking about it? Applaud if you're thinking about a drone. Applaud, yeah. You're thinking about it, are you? Are a couple of 47 years? Would you each get a drone, or would you share a drone after 47 years? Share one, but what would you use it for?
To evaluate our neighborhood.
Little neighborhood reconnaissance.
I'll quote her here. She said, "To evaluate our neighborhood." So you're doing reconnaissance on the neighborhood. Is there a story behind that? It's like everybody's neighborhood, but it's yours. Wait a minute, you're not in my neighborhood, are you? Because I'm going to shoot that sucker down. For reconnaissance. What do you want to know about your neighbors? I know too much about my neighbors now. I don't want to know anymore.
Whose dog is damaging my yard?
Well, you get a little security camera. We could have a drone hover over your yard while waiting for a dog to come along. What? That would be more interesting. Then the neighbors would come out. Have you thought this through? He's a very nice couple. I don't think you want to get involved in a, you know, like a... In the planning stages. Yeah, leave it in the planning stages. I always say. Well, hi, how are you? Nice to have you here. Thanks for coming. Got a great group. Give yourselves a big round, a medium-sized round of applause. Thank you for coming out. Nice to be here, right in the middle of homecoming week, and Purdue is here. And do they have a team this year? Last year they came without a team. The Boilermakers. They just came with some tools and things. Each week at this time we read actual memos sent in by actual listeners, just to prove we have actual listeners, and therefore actual memos. I used to use the word actual all the time. Then this was before things weren't. So I was ahead of my time, really. But now I don't use it as much, I notice, because nothing's really actual anymore. There's just one thing. It's a sign. I don't know, where is this from? Saw this taped up on a drive-in window at a bank in Eugene, Oregon. Had to send it to you. Thank you, Lauren Silver, out there. Thank you so much for your show. Love it. I wasn't going to read that. Okay, here, this is a sign that was on the drive-up window. Anyone who enters our drive-up the incorrect way We ask that you please leave and come back the correct way. Even if you are the only one in the drive, no exceptions. Thank you very much for that memo. I just liked it. I don't know why. There was something about it. It was like a haiku or something. And where can they send those memos and such?
They can send those memos to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com and post it there.
But 13 syllables in a haiku? Any one. How many syllables is that? Three. Who enters? Two. No. One, two, three. Hour, one. Drive, one. Up, one. The, one. Incorrect is a big word. Incorrect. Three. No, it's not. No, it's way over that already. Three. That's three, four, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 13, 16 right there. Not haiku. Sorry. Sorry to disappoint you. And you know all the news that is around here. There's quite a bit of news around here, as you can imagine. And I mean, in around Wisconsin, I guess, is what I mean. Now, the biggest thing, of course, is the holiday rush. Stores are already running out of Clay Matthews ornaments, Christmas ornaments. Here it is, by the way. It's kind of cool looking. I would hang that from. And I don't have a tree. I would hang that from something. Clay Matthews doing his famous. They should get him flipping his hair. I would pay double for a Clay Matthews flipping the hair on the sidelines there. You know, he gets it all wet and he flips it. And no one says anything because he's Clay Matthews. He's going to hurt you. So this is a year after Christmas ornament of quarterback Aaron Rodgers turned out to be a Hallmark store's all-time bestseller. This is going to put that to rest, all right? The stores are expecting again to be blitzed by shoppers seeking a new ornament featuring Packers linebacker Clay Matthews. The long-haired Packer favorite. That's pretty exciting. I see up in Toma, pot was found near the Wanawak canoe launch. This is a variety of things. There's no theme here. It's just, you know, news around here. It's kind of, this is all sort of typical stuff that you might hear around here. A Wanawak man is charged with planting marijuana plants near a canoe launch. Now, first of all, why would you plant it near the canoe launch? A Wanawak man was not thinking. People come here all the time. You're going to not notice there's a field of pot next to the canoe launch. Are you surprised? No. No, Jeff's not surprised, but I am. I won't say his name. They were called there to assist with an ongoing investigation about the planting of marijuana plants there in Wanawak. Or it was that in Wanawak or was that the canoe launch was? Anyway, it took note of numerous marijuana plants planted near the canoe launch. On the 28th at approximately 7:23 p.m., he was observed walking from his residence nearby the canoe launch in the direction of the marijuana plants. This is police work here. I appreciate good police work. His home was within walking distance of the canoe launch. Officers believe he did not tend to the plants that day because he observed investigators in the area. The plants were collected for evidence. That's what they're calling evidence now. Okay, guys, come on. When a detective made contact, he said the plants discovered were his. This guy did everything wrong. First of all, you don't say they're mine. They could be anyway. They could have just fallen off a marijuana truck and grown there, seeds. He said he attended to the plants on approximately 10 occasions since they were planted. They didn't even ask that. Then he gives him his schedule while he tends his pot plants. He insisted the plants were his alone. Again. He admitted to planting the marijuana knowingly so he could smoke it. And then referred to himself as a pothead. Everything is wrong with this story. Mr. Wanawak man. Let's see, up in Sheboygan, there's a new barbecue restaurant proposed at the Mucky Duck site. The Mucky Duck restaurant used to be there. The name is why it failed, obviously. You don't name a restaurant a Mucky. And what were you want to go, Mom? I'm feeling Mucky Duck. No. But anyhow, it'll be a barbecue there now. Oh, this is a general Wisconsin thing because we're so trusting we get scammed a lot. Phone scams. We're probably the best. Now we'll get calls. Don't call about this. The Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection estimates 10% of all consumer complaint contacts are about the scam, the imposter scam. It's where someone calls up and says, "Hi, I'm from the IRS, and you owe a huge amount of money and back taxes. I demand immediate payment. Otherwise, you'll have legal action, jail time, deportation, and revocation, whatever is appropriate in your case."
And of course, they have an Indian accent.
They have an accent from around here because it's probably some guy scamming around here because he knows that we're trusting people. So a general alert about this scam, especially if they say they're from the IBS, which is not a government agency. It's irritable bowel syndrome. A lot of them dash D. Here's another thing from the Eau Claire paper. Humans can become collateral damage on the war against the ash borer. I don't know. I just like the headline. I think that's a good one. God, we tried to take out the ash borer, and we killed a guy. We just gassed him right in his yard there. Eau Claire's draft budget has a $1 tax cut. That's worth mentioning. Okay. Let's see if I can get the figures on this here. Okay. The owner of a $150,000 home in Eau Claire paid $1,311 this year for city services. Next year, it would be $1,310. Thank you, Eau Claire. Where am I going to spend it? Volunteers are battling a plant invasion on Lake Onalaska near La Crosse. It's an invasion of water lettuce. That strike you as odd? Why wouldn't you, gather it and put it in salads and things? Water salads. Is it the same as regular lettuce? Is it like watercress? Isn't it watercress, water lettuce? Okay, I'll just keep wondering about that. Lineys, a lot of people worried about Lineys being part of the mega merger. You know that Miller now owns... Wait a minute, who owns Miller's? The Dutch? No, but whoever owns Coors and Miller's, and then they're also getting the other one, Bud. Someone's going to own all our beer, and it's not here. But Lineys is still going okay, even though they're fine. They'll be fine. Most Northeast Wisconsinites believe in legalizing medical marijuana and want to know where to get it. That's kind of an interesting... And finally, in Rhinelander, the autumn splendor is here. This is a black and white picture, but you can't see it. Full bloom now in Rhinelander. Get up there if you can. That's all the news that is from around here. I wish I had a better picture for you, but you can just go up there. Drive up to Rhinelander for the... Do some of you do that, still make trips for the color? Yeah, do you? Color? Yeah? All right, have you made one yet? Are you thinking about one this weekend? Yes to what? Or no reaction to which? Who does color trips? Drive to see the leaves like we used to do when I was a kid. Yes, and back there. Where have you seen any leaves yet?
Yeah, last weekend I went up to Nicolet National Forest.
Nicolet, good place to go. Excellent. Yeah. Wow. Did you just go for the leaves?
Mostly, yeah, camping.
Oh, good. Okay. Set some of those leaves on fire, did you, when you were camping? That's always the danger if you're, a leaf hunter. And you're... Charlie Parr is joining us, and this is very exciting. He is a musician, folk, I guess you'd call him. He's like organically American, good time musician. He's from Duluth, Minnesota. He does vocals, guitar, plays harmonica. Would you welcome, please, to our stage here, our great stage here on this show right now, on What Do You Know Show, Charlie Parr, the old stump jumper, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, that was you out there, Charlie. I didn't recognize that. I would have stopped and said hello. That was Charlie. He always did the opposite. Remember, I asked someone in the audience, you always do the opposite of what you're told to do when you're a kid? And that's, you said...
That's, well, I still do. That's why I was sitting over there by myself.
Yeah, so you still do. Mm-hmm. Where does the stump jumper thing come from?
When I grew up in Austin, Minnesota, mm-hmm. and around Austin when I was a little kid, a lot of these older fellas in the neighborhood, they had these lifted 4x4 trucks.
Yeah.
And Austin's relatively flat, so they'd drive them around in the fields after the harvest. They called themselves the stump jumpers.
Yeah, they would actually jump the stumps?
I never witnessed that.
Yeah, how could you jump a stump with unless you had a ramp or something? Wouldn't you have to have a ramp?
I never even thought about it, but
yeah,
they had a really cool sticker.
The sticker is a good idea. I'm just wondering.
I mean, the stickers was the best part for me because I was 5 or 7. I didn't see nothing.
You didn't see nothing. No. That's your story, and you're sticking to it?
That's right.
All right. How long have you been playing music?
Well, I've started trying to learn how to play the guitar when I was about 7 and a half, but I haven't had a job now in 11 years. So.
Yeah, that's good then.
Yeah.
So it worked.
So far it's working pretty good.
Yeah. Much to your surprise or not?
Definitely much to my surprise.
No. If you had to work, what would you do?
If I had to work?
Yeah, I mean, are you a craftsman or?
No, I wish I had a skill. No, yeah, I don't have any skills.
Yeah.
I used to work with a homeless outreach organization.
Oh, cool.
And I enjoyed that work very much. So
yeah.
When the bottom falls out of the folk singing thing, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. And the music itself, what are your roots in the music? They're in the roots, I think, aren't they?
Yeah, my dad's record collection was just a big, kind of big variety of old folk music and old blues music, and that's what I grew up listening to, and that's what kind of inspired me to want to get a guitar in the first place.
Excellent, excellent. What are you going to do for us here?
I'll do a song I wrote called Over the Red Cedar. Take a look at their big house, bigger than they really needed. He got the dualies on his pickup when the dealer gave him a choice. Now he's lost his job on the build site, and he's struggling to feed his boys. And red cedar grows and red cedar flows, and long after you're gone, it's outlasting you, Lord. Outlasting you, outlasting you, it's outlasting you. Now his wife was his high school girl, and they never left this town. It booms and busts and heaves and rusts, but they can't bear to go. Now they couldn't go if they wanted to, there ain't no work anywhere anymore. And the red cedar grows and the red cedar flows, and long after you're gone, it's outlasting you, outlasting you, outlasting you, Lord, it's outlasting you. Now she's been serving food down at Bud's. He can't stand to see her walking down there where the desperate man sit and drink. Stare a little too long at her legs. He sits home with the kids at night, hides the worry on his face. And the red cedar grows and the red cedar flows, and long after you're gone, it's outlasting you, outlasting you, outlasting you, it's outlasting you. Kids are getting bigger, they can't play outside like it used to be. You know exactly what's lurking out there, brother. You can see it on the news every night. And the village that it takes to raise our kids is afraid to come outside. And the red cedar grows and the red cedar flows, and long after you're gone, it's outlasting you. Outlasting you, outlasting you, Lord, it's outlasting you. Now Tuesday afternoons are the hardest. Time seems to to stand still, and they've piled up quite a few of them now. 20 years was not quite 3 o'clock, and time moves as fast as it ever did. There ain't nothing you can do to slow it down. And a red cedar grows, and a red cedar flows, and long after you're gone, it's outlasting you, outlasting you, outlasting you, it's outlasting you.
That was a great song. I love that. That was wonderful.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That made me want to be a musician, but only if I could be you.
Oh, well, I'd trade you. Yeah. I wouldn't be good at your job, though.
Oh, so. No. Well, I wouldn't be good at yours. That was amazing. That was a great song.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Is that an older one of yours or newer?
No, that's off the new record.
Off the new one, which we should mention if we haven't, Stump Jumper.
Yeah.
Happens to be the name of that.
It just came out in April, so it's pretty new.
Yeah, and it's on
Red House Records.
Yeah, Red House Records, by the way, is a great label, by the way. If you like music of all kinds, if it's good, this is the place you should be, Red House Records.
They've been very kind to me. This is my first release with them, hopefully not my last.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It should be great. I'd love to. And there is a folk revival now, is there not? Are you riding the crest of that?
It's been going on for a little while. Yeah. I started noticing it right after that the movie "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou" came out.
Yeah,
you started to see a little bit of a interest in it again. But yeah, it's been going on ever since. And this part of the country, Wisconsin and Minnesota, they've got a lot of kind of acoustic folk influenced musicians.
They're out there in the woods.
And they're out there in the woods, and they're coming out, and it's been really nice. I've been having a good time driving around hearing music that I like for a while.
Yeah, cool. And are you messed up with that Eau Claire bunch up there too? Those.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah,
I love those guys. Actually, the record Stump Jumper was produced by Phil Cook, who is from that area, and he lives out in Durham, North Carolina now. But yeah, those are great, great folks up in Eau Claire, and a really amazing.
It's like the
scene.
Epicenter of the whole movement.
It's. I was just up there two nights ago playing in downtown Eau Claire at the Mousetrap.
Yeah, cool. Oh, cool. Give us another one, would you?
All right.
When I was young, we looked after our folks. Remember me if I forget. Is it too much to ask to repay what you owe? Remember me if I forget. Our grandparents told us we'd reap just what we sow. Remember me if I forget. Remember me if I forget. Now we're in the way, we're both too young and too old. Remember me if I forget. Well, our story is long, but you only hear what you want. Remember me if I forget. I worked for my living, I didn't follow my dreams. Remember me if I forget. After our folks, remember me if I forget. Now is it too much to ask to repay what you owe? Remember me if I forget. Our grandparents told us we'd reap just what we sow. Remember me if I forget. Is sharp, but I don't know your face. Remember me if I forget. Remember me if I forget. Remember me.
Thank you, everyone.
You're listening to Michael. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Here I am again. All right, here he is again. Should I go in the audience now? Is that that time?
I think it is.
I lost my rundown. I don't know what I've been doing every day for every week for the past 30 years. And I maintain that to be true. We did that one. Okay, we're back on still the Cornishes again. Aram, I'm not going to come to you right now because you just used up our whole quiz section there, Aram, but you did ask how much kale. You actually said how kale is too much kale, so I did put in the much. So how much kale is too much kale? And I would just say any. Kale is the devil's vegetable. Devil loves kale. Makes it all kind of ways. Puts it in the oven, puts a little oil on it, puts it in the oven. Baked kale. That's just one way the devil likes it. I've thought about this, you can tell. I won't tell you all the ways. It's going to be a book, though, I'm thinking. Ways the Devil Serves Kale. By Anonymous. All right, let's see. Shally Nesser, have you ever brought your... this? What? I can read it. Have you ever... okay, let me just go over and talk to you because I'm getting sort of lonely up here. It's shorter this way or that way, you think?
This way.
This way? Okay. Pull in your feet, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Pull them in. Pull them in, sir. Did you not hear the warning to pull in your feet?
I'm sorry?
Good answer.
No, I was just going to say I've enjoyed this today. Like 60 years ago, I was with the Armed Forces Radio Service in Japan, and so it's sort of like deja vu for me.
All over again?
I'm sorry?
Did you have a show?
No, I just studio announcer, and yeah. I don't sound, my voice is shot now, but... I used to do on the network. I had one of these easy listening programs, yes.
Yeah. What was the song they most asked for at that time in the Armed Forces Radio? They can make requests, right?
Well, I can't remember exact, but a lot of artists, Frank Sinatra was big, and then going back, Doris Day. Joe Stafford.
Fishboat. Shrimp Boats is coming. Their sales are... I grew up with my brother's record collection of all the 78s. So all I know, I was a kid in the rock and roll era listening to Joe Stafford sing, Shrimp Boats is a-coming, their sales are inside. And Frankie Lane, yeah, right.
That explains a lot.
Mule train, yes. So, no, this has been very enjoyable.
Well, thank you. And your name is?
Walter Carlson.
Walter, nice to meet you.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for coming. Nice to meet you. Interesting story. I'm sorry.
That's all right. What? That's all right.
But, you know, let me make a... See, there's no difference between your feet are if you get up in that position, which is uncomfortable for you. and their feet are still in the same place, so you don't have to do it. Is what I'm saying. Thank you.
All right. Very good.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Like that often? It's a little... You're kind of hushed on. I feel like I should go past you now so you don't have to stay in it.
Go ahead.
What's your name?
Rod.
Rod? From around here, Rod?
No, from the Minneapolis area.
Oh, yeah.
The other side of the river.
Okay. It's okay. It happens. River goes through families sometimes. It was right through the family house, and you got half the family on one in St. Paul, and the other half is in Minneapolis.
That's right. Yeah. Right. I'm his wife, Joy.
I don't remember asking, but nice to meet you.
I just thought I'd offer.
How are you, Joy?
I'm good. I'm really good, yeah.
Are you down for anything more than this, or?
Yeah, it's a family reunion weekend.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
What's the family name?
Dold. Former neighbors of you, Lyric and Steve Dold.
Lorraine and Steve Dold.
Lyric.
Huh? Lyric. Lyric and Steve Dold.
Used to live near you.
Near me? The Dolds. Hey, where is this? Where is this all going on then?
In Middleton.
Are there a lot of Dolds in Middleton in the area?
There are this weekend. Yeah.
You know, if there's a Dold out there who hasn't heard about the reunion, this would be a good time to tell them. If you are a Dold, where and when should they be?
They should be at Lyric and Steve's house after the game. They'll know. Okay. They'll know.
Thank you very much. Are you with the Dolds as well?
Yeah, right now.
I won't press you on the issue if you don't want to admit any connection. Hello. Sally Nesser?
Yes, that's me.
I'm with the IBS. And you owe a lot of back taxes.
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, I'm afraid you do. We got it right here in this card right here. Back taxes. Can I get you to stand up? Do you mind? I don't mind. It's just nice to talk to someone, you know. And you.
Yeah,
it's like almost like you're talking.
Yeah, we are.
Vis-a-vis.
Yeah.
Whatever that language that would be. Yep. Yeah, do you speak French?
No.
What languages do you speak?
English.
Yeah, I'm learning that, but I don't get the hang of it. It's so irregular, it's hard to get the hang of English.
Yeah. No, I've been practicing for a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you ever teach English? Or?
No. Yeah. In fact, I can't spell worth a darn.
Worth a darn. W-O-R-T-H space A.
But I love spell check. Spell check is good.
But spell check, look how they spell it, C-H-K. How reliable is that? S-P-L-C-H-K. That's not spell check. Throw out anything they give me because they can't spell their own name.
Be careful.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah. Well, you should see some things my name comes up as.
Such as?
I can't even say them on the air. It's horrible. Somebody at spell check don't like me.
Oh, yeah.
What was your question now? Door County? Yes.
You were.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry I missed it, but I'm glad I'm here.
And I'm glad you're here, too. Yeah. Who was there? Ira Glass was there?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. And he was what?
He was pretty awesome.
Okay.
He did the whole show.
I was totally awesome. I was up there, and I was totally, Ira, I'll give you pretty awesome.
I bet you did. Probably packed up.
Totally awesome.
I bet you were.
It was packed the first couple of times we went up.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah. Second time, you know, pretty much everyone in town had seen it. You know, so the third time, I was like, okay, yes.
It's a small population.
People just go things. They see a line, they get in it, and they go, you know, Door County.
Yeah. But.
Love it up there, though.
It's pretty great. It's great.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you
Madison's
for asking.
Madison's pretty great, too.
Madison's pretty great.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, nice to be here.
Sally Nesser. How many bicycle parking spots are available for people coming to your show? I'll never know. Yes, it's a good question, but I'll never know, because I will never come on a bicycle. I promise you that. It's the only promise I will make in this election, that I will not ride a bicycle.
Ever?
What?
Ever?
I did it. I was a kid, you ride bicycles, because that's all you have. I hated it, because I wanted some wheels, you know. And so I had my brother's old bike. It was a middleweight. This is psycho history, personal psycho history, but it was heavy, you know, and that's all I had. I never got the bike I wanted, and now I'm an adult. I don't have to ride a bike. So I don't get dressing up in numbers and latex or Gore-Tex or stretchy pants when you're, like, you know, over 40 and shouldn't be in anything that's slimming or clings to your outline. Don't they know what they look like? They look stupid, and these wearing their colors, riding around on a bicycle. Where? On Mills Street. You know, whoa, this is not Tour de France. This is Mill Street. You're going by the hospital here. You look like an idiot. You're 47 years old. It's crazy. That's why I don't ride a bike.
It's not not crazy. Riding a bike as an adult is not crazy.
That kind of an adult riding a bike is, I mean, what do you? Yeah, it says, boy, I rode 20 miles last week or whatever. That's all it says. And you pay, what does an outfit like cost? By about $200 for his total outfit, don't you think?
No, I think less than that.
$150 for an outfit like that, because this is a good one. They're good. Obviously, they're good outfits. They must sew them right on him, because how's he get into it?
Well, and if you include the riding shoes, it would be $200.
He's over, way over. John, you have one of those outfits, don't you? Riding, but you weren't listening. I'm sorry. Never mind. Okay. Back to the Cornishes again. Are we going to come all the way around now? Let me just see. Cornish is still here, mostly. Is that purposely playing? Yeah, I guess we went through the whole audience now. Okay, anyone else want to add something we didn't get to because you didn't fill out a card or you came in late and they're in the back row? Are you guys here because you have to be? It's kind of house arrest sort of thing. You got to... Let me look into that. Excuse me. Could you just kind of get up on your chair a little bit there, sir?
Oh, sure. I'm finding that to be the case in the show.
Good to see you. Okay, back here in this row. These people are under duress, obviously. Are you being held in the show against your will? Because, you know, we could... I don't know what authorities we'd call on this, but you don't really look like you're wanting to be here so much. Am I right?
Kind of.
Same for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Where would you be if you weren't here at the present time?
Outside.
Outside or?
Home.
Home or anywhere, really? Okay. But having said that, how much are you enjoying it?
Yay. Yeah, a little.
Yeah, and yay a little. How about that, ladies and gentlemen? The young people. You see, we reach everybody on this show. Is this your doing? Excuse me.
Yeah, we're here to visit my niece at college, and we thought we'd take in a little bit of Madison.
Yeah, okay.
Including your show.
Okay. When he says we, does that mean you as well?
Yeah.
Okay. And you are?
Brian Dorn.
The Dorns and your?
Keely.
Haley.
Keely and?
Peggy.
Peggy. All Dorns? All Dorns, ladies and gentlemen. They're here and they're loving it. They're loving it. Anywhere in here in this section that wants to make a statement? Nothing of importance?
Get on the radio.
Okay, I tell you what we're going to do then. We're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz, because that's what we do here.
That's right.
We're known for it. It's the quiz you can't hardly lose, ladies and gentlemen. What's bad about that? With prizes you don't hardly want. So here's a chance. You saw what happened in the first go-round there, and they won, darn it. And, you're pointing to someone who's not raising their hand, sir. That's a misdemeanor, if not a felony, to do that.
Uh-oh.
He thinks that you should play, but you say it.
I think you should play the game.
Yeah.
I'll play the game.
Isn't that nice? He has that power over her. He can tell her to do anything. Who is that guy?
That's my husband.
Yeah. Does he have a name or not?
Tom.
Tom is your husband. And you are?
Colleen.
Hi, Colleen. Give me one good reason why you should play us besides Tom.
We've been listening to you since at least 1992. Yeah. We're longtime fans.
Done anything else?
You know, this only is Saturday, so...
We're done.
Yeah.
Come on up, Colleen. Colleen! Come on, Colleen, you got her into this. Colleen. It's impossible not to like someone named Colleen.
Thank you.
Have you noticed that, too? Is that why you took the name in the first place?
Well, it was kind of given to me. I didn't really have a choice.
Yeah, I know. I guess that's true. But you could have changed it to something else.
True.
Colleen. And are you from around here, Colleen? Or?
We're from Madison.
That's around here?
It is around here. Yeah.
You're from here, then, basically.
Yeah. West Side.
West Side there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How'd you get in? Come to know Dana?
We Dana. Swung up and around. And
swung up and around?
Yeah.
Where do you swing up and around there?
Beltway and...
Oh, you went up on the Beltway.
Yeah.
Beltline. Beltways in Washington, D.C.
I do that.
You're not from around here,
I
Colleen.
I do that all the time.
Gotcha. That line. Beltway is,
I know. I'll be thrown out of town now.
Yeah, yeah. And what do you do in life as we know it?
I used to work for a pharmaceutical company.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Auditing the clinical trials.
Okay. Done with that. What are you doing now?
Taking care of dogs.
Living life to the fullest?
Yes.
How many dogs do you have?
Three. And I don't think we live anywhere near.
Oh, the drones. Are there drones hovering over your dogs?
I haven't seen any, but I'm going to start looking up now.
Yeah. And your dogs get along, obviously.
They do.
All three of them.
They do.
And what are their names?
There's Molly.
Molly.
Madison.
Madison.
And Maggie.
And Maggie, all M's.
Yes.
Okay. Was there a reason behind that?
No.
Who's the namer in your family?
I named Molly and Madison, and Maggie was a rescue. She came...
With a name.
With a name.
Cool. Cool. Breeds, we're talking...
The rescue is a lab mix.
Lab mix, always good.
And then Shelties.
And Shelties, oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
You got a little...
I got a little
romping
chair there, yeah.
No, I don't mean Tom. You got a little Sheltie and Tom. I mean, you got some room for them to romp?
We
do. Those are rompers, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But they're good. Fairly small. They're not. Yeah. They're not a big dog.
So. Yeah, cool. All right, sounds great. Hi.
Hi.
Stephanie. Do you have a dog, Stephanie? No,
I don't. I never had pets growing up.
But you're growing up now. You can do whatever you want.
True, true. I don't know that my lifestyle's cut out for pets. Dogs.
Well, maybe you should change your lifestyle.
I think I should.
Yes, because you got to have a dog.
And I will say, Colleen, we've got a great bandana for your dogs if you can win the mother load on the quiz today.
So you have something to shoot for.
The pressure's on.
I'm all rooting for you.
So now we got to find a partner, do we?
That's
not
right.
For Colleen?
We do. If people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669 and answer this qualifying question.
Okay, I see the phones are not ringing yet off the hook. Give it again.
Sure, it's 800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WHA-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW.
Okay, there was a study done at the University of Pennsylvania, and they found out the answer to this question. The question is, how much would you have to pay a smoker to quit? All right, this is kind of the minimum amount they would take to quit smoking. All righty. So if you know the answer to that, you want to give an estimate. I will tell you it's in the hundreds of dollars. So it's not like thousands. Some smokers would say I need, $100,000 to quit, but not the average person. There is a figure here in the hundreds that they found that if you give them that much money, they will actually quit smoking. So you just got to pay off smokers to quit. Let's go to the phones right now. And Jim's in Appleton. Hey, Jim.
Hello.
How you doing?
All pretty good. Excited to be on the show after listening for the last 10 years.
Yeah. What you doing right now otherwise?
I'm actually going to have lunch.
You are? Did you prepare the lunch yourself, Jim?
No. I'm going to my favorite restaurant to get some Chicago dogs.
Oh, yeah. Where is that in Appleton?
It is Nico's Heroes.
Oh, and they got Chicago dogs as well? The real deal?
Yep. The real deal.
Okay. All right, Jim, how much would you have to pay a smoker to quit? They did a study, and they found out if they gave people a certain amount of money, they actually would stop smoking. It's in the hundreds.
$750.
It's $800. I can't give it to you. Oh, I'm kidding, of course. Where's my bell? My bell is gone. Just notice that. Can't keep ringing the cowbell, because the cows will come home. Then where will I be? Jim, this is Colleen. She's your partner here in crime.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Colleen.
It's possible not to like a guy named Jim, so you're impossible not to like a couple on this quiz. So what do you do otherwise, Jim, for fun?
I do unified communications for a company.
You do what?
Voice over IP, messaging, presence, things like that.
For fun?
That's my job.
Well, okay, but what do you do for fun?
What do I do for fun?
No. What do you do for fun? Curling or something like that, a sport of some sort, parasailing?
Oh, spelunking.
Are you really a spelunker?
No, I just thought it'd be something cool.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Jim, very much. Jim, Colleen, did you meet?
We did.
Okay. Two of you are a team right now. It is cooperative, and we have various categories, have we not, Stephanie Lee?
We do. The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Jim, you want to take the first one?
Science, please.
Science, please. Let's see, we don't have a science, please, but I'll give you the science.
Okay.
All right, do bees, A, prefer, B, are indifferent to, or C, are repulsed by caffeinated nectar? Why you would caffeinate the nectar of a bee, I have no idea, but it was done at some university.
I would think they're repulsed by that.
I would tend to agree.
Oh, I would have to say you're both wrong. They actually prefer it. They love it, in fact. Bees love caffeinated nectar. I hope that's being put to a good use. I'm sorry?
I thought they were much smarter than we were.
Oh, apparently it's something...
It is addictive, is it not?
Yes. But in your nectar?
All right, that's one wrong, unfortunately. Mm. And the remaining categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, and odds and ends.
Colleen?
Let's try current events.
Current events, right out of the news. All right. Why the big deal about a photograph of croquet players in New Mexico in 1878? I'm sure you saw this.
Billy the Kid.
Whoa, yes, that's right, Billy, unless you disagree, Jim.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, yeah, it was Billy the Kid playing croquet between holdups in 1878 New Mexico. It's a great picture if you haven't seen it, by the way. It's absolutely amazing.
That's one right, one wrong, and the remaining categories are people, places, things you should have learned in school, and odds and ends.
Okay, Jim?
School.
School, okay. What you doing tonight, Jim?
Dr. Luzon.
Doctor Who is on? That's the saddest thing I've ever heard. Oh, God. Jim, you got to get out a little bit.
Yeah.
School? Okay. Fidgeting. Should you?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes, that's right. You should, definitely. So if your teacher tells you to stop fidgeting, tell her it's good for you. They did a study on it, and they found that if you fidget, it actually... Of course, after a while, you just start doing it a lot. But it's good for you because it gets you physiologically
gets out the juices of your, going.
Exactly. The juices.
That's two right and one wrong.
Okay.
The remaining categories are people, places, and odds and ends.
Okay. Colleen?
Let's try odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Oh, yeah, there it is. All right. After armed robberies, do banks give out loans on better terms? Yes or no?
Counterintuitively, I would say yes.
I'll just agree.
Yes, they do, but it only lasts for 2 weeks. So if they get robbed, get in there and get a house loan. Congratulations.
Colleen, you'll think you're in Door County with Swedish pancake mix from Al Johnson's Swedish restaurant and boutique, along with a jar of Al Johnson's wild organic
but
Swedish...
But I warn you, those are not lingonberries.
Lingonberries.
In the Al Johnson's mix there. Those are the goats. The goats on the roof. They got to go somewhere.
Jim, for Michael's thoughts on everything from the Midwest to manhood, you'll have Something I Said, Innuendo, and Out the Other, with illustrations and music by John Seeger from Terrace Books. And both of you can send a message in the mail using a pencil from the Silver Coach restaurant in Stevens Point on a Greetings from Peoria postcard while listening to a quarter century of What Do You Know mirthful highlights on the CD compilation The First 25 Are the Hardest with cover art by Nora Feldman. Congratulations to both of you.
Where else can you get prizes like that? Colleen, thank you very much for playing. Jim, hang in. Thanks very much. You did a good job there, Jim.